Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
In today's podcast, I want to talk about editing from two different perspectives. First, we'll talk about editing from the position of an overview, the theory of editing, and what we want editing to accomplish. And then, in the back half of this podcast, I'll talk about some practical methods that have made editing a little easier for me, and in particular, when I'm working on projects and developing the images that will be included or excluded from a project, there's an approach that I've found to be particularly efficient, effective, and to economize the time that I spend working on a project. But before we get into that, let me start with the overview. In 2009, I visited an exhibition in China that included some 1,500 photographs. It was amazing. It was overwhelming. It was impossible to look at all of them. And I learned an incredibly valuable lesson there that I was not anticipating when I went to China. I learned two things in the presence of such a fire hose of images. And the first is that good work does not elevate the whole. And there was some really good work there. To this day, I can still remember several of the images because they were just excellent and they had an impact on me. But those images did not elevate my opinion of the exhibition in general. To repeat, the good work does not elevate the whole, but the whole can drag down the good work to its level. So my impression of the exhibition was pretty mediocre work. And if you were to ask me what I thought of that exhibition in 2009, I'd say, well, on average, it was pretty suspect. Not very good photography, kind of beginning level stuff. But that wasn't true for each and every print, because there were some that were quite impressive. Now, the reason I bring this up, of course, is because I think the exact same thing can apply to our projects. Let's say, just for fun, that you've got a project that has 40 images in it. And isn't it safe to say that they're not all going to be equally high-quality images? They're not all wonderful. Some of them are better than others. Some of them maybe shouldn't be in the project, but for one reason or another, they're your favorite, and so they made it in the project. And then, of course, we bump up against beauty in the eye of the beholder. Images that you might think are terrific, others might not, and vice versa. So the temptation as a photographer is to take as many images as we can and stuff them into our projects because, in the first place, we like them all or we wouldn't have photographed them. We also know that other people might like them, and so we want to give each of our little photographic babies a chance to shine and their chance in the spotlight. But from a functional point of view, what having too many images does to a project is tend to pull it down, to diminish our appreciation of the work. So if you show a body of work that has 40 images to a group of people and say, edit this down to the 6 or 8 or 10 that you think are the strongest, you're going to end up with different sets of 6 or 8 or 10, depending on who does the editing and what their personal preferences are. But regardless of which images they select, my proposal is that the finished body of work with 6 or 8 or 10 images will be stronger than the original body of work that had 40 images. Editing is the key, to pick the strongest images, the images that not only reinforce each other but extend each other, that add something to the project. And that's a really difficult thing to do because, like I say, we love all of these images or we wouldn't have made them. We wouldn't have finished them. We wouldn't have spent time with them. But that doesn't mean that having more is better. Wouldn't it make sense if we turn this around in terms of logic and say, take a project of yours that has 40 images in it and add another 60 images so that you add a total of 100. Does that necessarily mean it gets stronger? or does it run the risk that the project gets even more dilute, weaker, and has a more difficult time holding the attention of the viewer? Project-oriented photography needs a group of images, or it's not really a project. But if you get too many images, it's so easy for the project to be diminished by the additional content. So the conclusion that I think is the only conclusion I can draw in this case is that editing to a fewer number of images will tend to strengthen a project. Adding will tend to dilute it and diminish it. So that's the general principle we want to work on. Now, I can't tell you how many is the right number to some degree, because that depends, I think, on the medium that you use to present your work. A book needs to have more images than a PDF, for example. A comfortable gallery exhibition needs to have fewer images than a book. So, depending on the medium of presentation, the numbers change. And there's a sensitivity that we have to that, because we might choose to produce our project in more than one medium, in which case it'll have a different size depending on which medium that audience happens to be looking at. So finding the right number of images that maximizes the impact of the project is kind of its own art form. It takes a lot of trial and error, a lot of experience, a lot of sensitivity on our part to know how many is the correct number of images based on the project, based on the audience, based on the medium. But in general, more is not necessarily a good thing. As a matter of fact, more often than not, increasing the size of the project tends to weaken it. So that's the first principle. But now I'd like to shift gears and talk about a practical method of accomplishing that. And I started thinking about this not long after I got back from that visit to China in 2009. And I was at that point starting to struggle with the idea of managing my digital assets, because opening up each individual file in Photoshop one at a time, I found to be very cumbersome and an almost impossible way to do editing. It was a great way to do processing because Photoshop was powerful, even back in 2009. But as a survey tool, Photoshop just didn't work for me. Well, fortunately, in 2006, Adobe had released an early version of Lightroom. That early version was Mac only. But eventually they made one for a PC, which is what I work with, and I started getting familiar with Lightroom and its ability to look at images and organize them. And ever since then, now almost 20 years later, Lightroom has become the main tool that I use, not only for organizing and editing a project, but to a large degree for processing. It's gotten so powerful. But because Lightroom is so powerful, there's lots and lots of ways to use Lightroom. And I've developed a bit of a unique, practical method for helping me develop projects that I want to share with you here in the back half of this podcast. And it has to do with Lightroom's star ratings. Now, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos about Lightroom and training, both from Adobe and from third-party educators. And it appears that most people think we're supposed to use the star ratings to elevate an image based on, well, essentially, how much we like it. So, in essence, an image amasses stars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, as votes in kind of a popularity contest. But I really struggle with that idea, because how can we know if we like an image if we haven't processed it yet? I shoot exclusively raw images with my digital camera because I want maximum flexibility in processing. Maybe that's something left over from my film days, I don't know. But the idea of having a JPEG straight out of the camera just doesn't work with my way of thinking and my workflow. So I bring in raw images that are assets, and I've talked a lot about gathering assets as a strategy when I'm out in the field. but I can't tell you whether or not those assets are going to be useful in a project or not until I start actually thinking about them as a project. And I can't do that until I've started processing an image. So how do I know if I like it if I haven't processed it yet? So the idea of importing all of my images into Lightroom, which come in by default with no stars, and then adding stars 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, depending on how much I like the image, seems silly to me because I can't determine how much I like the image until I've figured out how I want to use it in a project. So I've developed my own strategy for using Lightroom's star ratings, and it runs something like this. When it comes to developing a project, by the way, that could be a project of individual images that I want for a gallery exhibition. It doesn't have to be for a PDF or for a book or a chapbook or anything like that. There's lots of ways I develop finished artwork from my assets, but they all start as assets imported by default with zero stars. But at some point in time, maybe then, maybe years later, I'll think, well, here's a potential project idea. And the first step in developing that project idea for me is to establish a collection. So I'll create a collection, which at that point is thoroughly unpopulated. I have no images in it whatsoever. And then I start the process of populating the collection. Sometimes I'll populate a whole folder because it's from a specific location. Sometimes I'll find images at random as I may be working in my Lightroom catalog on a completely different project. And I'll see something and think, oh, that could go in that project. So I'll add it to that collection. Slowly, over time, a collection builds and builds and builds until I feel like I probably have enough to spend some time working on the collection itself, maybe the first steps in refining it toward a finished piece of artwork. And so I'll turn my attention to working that collection, and that's when the star ratings kick in. Now keep in mind, none of these have star ratings yet, probably. That is to say, the images, I'm assuming, have been imported as no stars. They get added to the collection with no stars. And the way most people use the star system is they would then start going through and upgrading the star rating based on how much they like the image. Well, my feeling goes exactly the opposite. If I didn't like the image, I wouldn't add it to the collection to begin with. It would not even be a candidate. So I'm assuming that all the images that are in a collection are candidates that, for one reason or another, I think have potential. They probably all need development, but they have potential. So the first thing I do is take all of those images in that collection and rate them as a 5-star. 5-star means I like them enough to consider them. And then I'll start the process of thinking about how I want to develop the images for this project. Is this going to be black and white or color? Is it going to be high key or low key or full toned? Is it going to be selective color or neutral black and white or toned or sharpened or softened with clarity or vignetted, etc.? I start playing around with all of those processing ideas based on how I think the project might develop in the end. And fairly often, I'll find that I've processed one image that I really like a lot, and I think that's probably going to end up being the style, the aesthetic for the project. I'll make a preset out of that set of processing steps, and then start applying it to other images in the collection, which, I remind you, are all rated 5-star. But as soon as I apply the preset with its processing, some of those images don't work anymore, for whatever reason. Maybe a great example would be I've decided I want the project to be all square images, and when I find that I crop an image to a square, it just doesn't work as a square. So it's no longer a 5-star, that it's now been downgraded in my mind's eye because it doesn't work with the potential processing that I have. And I don't want to delete it from the collection because ideas about a project evolve over time. So what I'll do is downgrade it from 5 stars to 4 stars. You can see where I'm going with this. In my way of working the star system, it's not an escalating, elevating an image through various star levels to the highest level. No, it's removing stars. It's starting off with 5 stars and then reducing the number of stars in an image based on it's somehow fallen out of favor for this project, which at this point is represented by the collection. If I find there is a technical flaw with an image, I'll give it a 1 star. That's sort of my clue for future projects, that if I look at this image and I'm thinking it might fit in some other project, that no, I've already looked at this image and it's got a technical flaw, it's out of focus or something like that, and so don't consider this anymore. In theory, I could delete those 1 stars, but every once in a while I find a use for them, so I just put them as 1 stars and eliminate them from the collection, but I don't delete them from the hard drive. So after I've gone through all the images and I've applied the preset so that they all share the same aesthetic, now I can start looking at which images are really working that I think are just terrific, and I know I want them in the project. They stay 5 stars. If I'm sort of less comfortable with it, if I'm not convinced it's a home run, if the project won't necessarily be diminished by its elimination, I move it to a 4 star and I keep working my way through the collection until all the images are either 5 star, which they were when they came in, which means I really like them, or 4 star, which means they've been downgraded for one reason or another, that they've fallen out of favor. Most of the time, what I find at that point is that I have enough 5-star images to make a project. So all the 4-star images can essentially be mentally discarded. I don't get rid of them in the collection yet, but I could mentally discard them. In fact, probably I'll have to continue the process of going through the 5 stars and getting a little more nitpicky and a little more detailed in which items that I want to downgrade to 4-star, and do I really, really want to keep them as a 5-star because they just have to be in the final project. And then I'll work my project down to the number of images I want in the final project, which might be 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, 60, whatever the number is, again, depending on the medium, depending on the audience, depending on the project, I'll have a number in mind, and I have to try to squeeze to get down to that number. In doing so, what's left are the strongest images that are processed with the strongest aesthetic and that have moved me collectively considerably closer to a finished project. But, you might ask, why not just get rid of the 4 stars? Because in my experience, sometimes at that point of working the project, I might decide I want to change the aesthetic a little bit. Maybe I decide I need to dehaze all of them, or I need to tone all of them. And in doing that with those remaining 5-star images, there may be one that doesn't work anymore, and there may be a 4-star that needs to get re-elevated to a 5-star level because the new processing makes it a better image than it was. I continue that process until I'm basically done. Then I finish the project by taking all the images that are not 5-star images and I remove them from the collection. And I remove all the stars so that when they return to my basic Lightroom catalog, they have no stars. They're just assets again. Then I take all the 5 stars that are in my collection and I color label them based on the artwork medium that I'm going to produce. So if they get used in a PDF, they all become red. If they're used in a chapbook or a book, they get coated with yellow. If they go to a folio or an individual print, they get labeled green. And the reason that's important is because later, when I'm working on a different project, if I see an image that has a color and a 5-star, I know that was used in a finished project and I don't ever change that image. In other words, I lock it, because it's an archive image, and I don't want any further processing. If I'm going to do any further processing, then I'll make a virtual copy and leave untouched that image from the collection that is finished. So using my 5 stars and color labels that way creates a long-term archive that identifies images easily and at a glance. So for me, the bottom line is, the star rating system is not a way for me to indicate which ones I like and how much I like them, but rather, I use the star rating system as an editor to edit down to the distilled and hopefully strong collection of images that make the best possible project without any fluff, so that the remaining images make the most powerful artistic statement I can muster. So that's my philosophy of editing and how I actually implement that in my day-to-day workflow. And maybe there's an idea or two in here that could work for you too.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.